This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. Give them a call, +44 1273 733 433, or you can fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact. Or alternatively, you can talk to either Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the site. They'd be happy to help. Now, today I'm joined by Philly Visa, leading SEO expert, speaker, ex-Google engineer, and former senior member of the Google Search Quality team. Philly, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you doing? It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. And I'm calling you. You're in Germany, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I live in Berlin and travel to around the world, basically.
Fantastic. I'm not going to ask you what the weather's doing in Berlin, because I always ask people what the weather's doing, and it's turning into a meteorological forecast. So instead of asking you what the weather's doing in Berlin, I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself and Search Brothers.
Yeah, sure. I can actually tell you, though, it does snow here today.
Is it snowing today? It's snowing, is it?
It is snowing. The feeling temperature is like -5.
Oh.
So it's nice. But yeah, so I'm basically an SEO, and I am currently at Search Brothers together with another former Googler, also someone who used to be on the Search Quality team, that's Kasper Szymanski.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, obviously, I worked for 7 years at Google, of which I spent most of my time at Google Search Quality. I also tackled a little bit of click fraud, and I did a lot within teams on communication, like on the forums, also helping in the background on blog posts, as well as speaking at conferences. I did a lot of training, trained other people in the team especially, and approved their work. One of the other key elements that I did, as well as I programmed internal tools for penalization, as well as for workflow improvements. And then last but not least, I was also responsible for creating a unified policy, internal policy document that unified our strategy on how to penalize, what to penalize, how long to penalize, which pattern to penalize, what penalty to apply, etc.
Yeah.
On the inside of Google. So it's kind of like the opposite of the Webmaster Guidelines in a nutshell.
Now, I always get very excited. I'm making it sound like I'm frequently speaking to ex-Google people here, but I do get rather excited when I have a Google person on the other end of the line. And I'd like to have a nice sort of quite generic chat about, well, a number of topics to do with SEO and googly things. Let's start off with penalties, because you just mentioned penalties there. Let's talk about penalties. I mean, specifically, there's actually two things I'm quite interested in: algorithmic penalties and this notion of once you've been penalized, are you always penalized? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of interesting, because I hear the term algorithmic penalties very often. And it's kind of funny for me, because it doesn't actually exist. So there are manual penalties. Those are penalties. Those are in the Google Search Console. highlighted as manual actions.
Yeah,
those are manual actions applied by the search quality team. They apply this. It's kind of like what falls between the cracks of the algorithms. Like Google likes to solve basically anything with an algorithm if it can.
Yeah.
But the algorithms aren't that far yet, although they do make continuous progress. Don't get me wrong there. And they make a lot of progress over the years. But while an algorithm is running, certain things may fall between the cracks.
Yeah.
And this is where then manual teams come in. They evaluate, they see what falls in between. Now, sometimes these manual teams are big manual teams, like, for example, at the time it was with the Google search quality team. Sometimes these are just a couple of engineers that are checking up on their own algorithm or an algorithm of someone else, another engineer, to see how this can be further improved.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be a big manual team. And it's important to keep in mind. It can be, though. And when it comes to web spam algorithms, there are actually no algorithms that actually penalize,
right.
But there are team members that are penalizing. So an algorithm penalty doesn't really exist. It's a very common misconception in the industry. And that perception comes from, well, an algorithm update happened, my website went down, hence I was penalized. And the thing is, no, that's not penalization. It's like if you go drive around in your car with the navigation system, say TomTom or Garmin or any of those type of things, and you took the wrong street or you missed a turn or an exit, it doesn't mean your tires are slashed and your car can't start anymore and you are stuck at that point. It means you'll have a longer way to get there.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? And that's the difference. It's not a penalization as it is a re-evaluation or a recalculation. Like the navigation system would basically recalculate the route to a new route to your destination.
Yes.
Whereas in Google's perception, it basically means that they're recalculating where you're ranking.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and this is the key thing to keep in mind. So, penalization does happen. It just doesn't happen algorithmically. It happens manually.
So there's always a human behind it.
For the penalization part, yes.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be impacted by algorithms. Now, impact is different than saying, hey, I'm penalized. So from an impact perspective, you can absolutely experience a negative ranking or like going down in ranking from an algorithmic update. But that's the key thing to keep in mind. It's an algorithmic update. It's a change to the algorithm or to the data that the algorithm is processing or both. Yeah. So it sometimes it's not actually even an algorithmic update. It's actually the data that is being updated behind the algorithm.
Yeah.
And we've seen that, for example, with Panda and Penguin. Neither one of the two are currently penalizing. Now, in the past, it is true that Penguin would take into account as a negative factor the bad backlinks, so to say, the backlinks that weren't good for your website. But that doesn't mean that you are penalized by it. It would just count as a negative in the total sum of the entire algorithm, of all the trends it would see. It's not an actual penalization yet. It does impact your ranking, but it's not a penalization. Does that make sense?
It does. And it kind of clouds the second bit of the question in a way, because this sort of how long does a penalty or being penalized last? I'm assuming it's a slightly more complex answer now.
It is. It depends on the penalty to start with.
Yeah.
But in most cases, you can say, like, if a manual penalty is applied, you will see it in Google Search Console. And when a penalty is applied, you can file for reconsideration. So in that case, it could be shorter. But if you say, like, yeah, I'm not doing anything, it will, over time, time out. So over time, we're most of the time talking over a time span of several years minimum.
Yeah.
At that point, the penalty may time out. Does that mean that the website won't be penalized again after that? Well, it absolutely is possible, because the moment that a penalty times out, the offending behavior, according to the Google Webmaster Guidelines, may not be gone yet. So another Googler may relook at your website. Now, that's depending on how visible your website is or how many backlinks you have and everything like that. There's a whole bunch of signals that Google looks at for when and how to evaluate the website, how they prioritize their queues of looking at websites. But at some point, your website will pop back up on the radar. And that could be literally the day after the penalty expired, could also be 3 months down the line. But at some point, someone will look again and they will see that the penalty was expired, nothing was done about it. And they will also see that it's still there, the offending behavior, and you'll get reslapped with the same or a more harsher penalty or another penalty. It could be that policy has changed in the meantime. So as a result, once you penalize, if you don't fix the problem, yes, you will likely be penalized over a long period of time. And we're talking years and years. And then you have to ask yourself, can you afford it for your business that your website is penalized for that period of time? Like 2 years or 3 years or 4 years is an awful long time in the internet.
Yeah, it is. It's a lifetime on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. So from that perspective, can your business afford that?
Yeah.
And in most cases, the answer is no. Now, once you file for reconsideration and you fix the problem, first fix the problem, then file for reconsideration, don't do it the other way around. Don't even file for reconsideration until you actually have solved the problem. And one of the funny things, I was part of the reconsideration team also, and some of the reconsideration requests that you saw come in were like, yeah, we were penalized for links, so I fixed all the H1s on my website. Can I be reconsidered now? It's like, yeah, so you didn't fix the problem? No. That kind of stuff. You need to fix the actual problem that Google is highlighting. And once you fix the problem from according to the Google Webmaster Guidelines, then you can say like, okay, let me write in. There's no point writing in before that. There's no point writing in to ask why you were penalized. Try to solve the problem first. If you can't solve the problem first, you're just postponing it, because any reconsideration request that doesn't actually solve the problem just gets rejected. So if you have to wait 3 weeks for a reply, or 5 days, or whatever the period is, because that fluctuates per language as well, per whatever the queue is at that point and stuff like that. Sometimes they're in a few hours. Sometimes it can take literally several weeks before they get back to you. And during that period, you're just waiting for an answer. You know, and unless you actually fix it, you won't get reconsidered. Yeah. Now, once you fixed it and Google says, okay, you know what? We can see that you have made a genuine effort and tackled the problem and fixed that. Now we can say, okay, we approve your reconsideration request. And from that moment on, the penalty will be removed from your website. And you'll see that in Google Search Console. Now, sometimes Google Search Console doesn't really update well. Just send in a second reconsideration request if it's still not gone after like 5 days. It should be gone within 24 to 48 hours. It can lag sometimes a little bit, but it should be relatively fast. Once the reconsideration request is approved, if 5 days later it's still there, even though the reconsideration request is approved, just send in another email as a reminder saying, hey, this was approved. Can you confirm? And please remove it in Google Search Console. And they'll remove it if that's the case. Now, it's also possible that you actually have different problems, and while you were filing for a reconsideration request, you may actually got another penalty on top of that as well. So you have to solve that as well. Once you solve everything, Google will basically say, okay, you're good now. We will reconsider you. The penalties will disappear from the Google Search Console. And from that moment on, you're not penalized anymore.
Yeah.
But you have to keep in mind, and this is where a lot of people then go like, yeah, but I'm not ranking as I used to. The thing is, you were not supposed to rank that high in the first place. That's why you got penalized.
Right, yes.
So a lot of people, they go like, yeah, but like my penalty is gone, but I don't have the traffic back. Yeah, of course not. Now you have to start working for your traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a common misconception as well. But Google will give you the benefit of the doubt. Google does not want to be vengeful. Just because you had a penalty in the past does not mean that that will inhibit your ranking today.
Yes.
As long as you comply with Google Webmaster Guidelines.
It's interesting, actually. You said that you could get another penalization on top of an existing one. It does remind me, actually, a little bit of when you park your car on double yellow lines and you get multiple tickets on your windscreen when you get back.
You can absolutely get multiple penalties applied to your website, yes.
Yeah.
And you will have to apply for them separately.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Right, what should we talk about next? HTTPS, you've mentioned that quite a lot recently on the webcast. HTTPS, when and why, and some interesting nuggets of information I'm sure you got for us.
Yeah, so obviously a fun part on HTTPS is I absolutely recommend to move to HTTPS. Even though, actually, the inventor of the World Wide Web, Tim Berners-Lee, wasn't really too happy with it because it breaks every link, because we're changing every link with adding an S now to it.
Yeah.
So every URL has to be recalled. Every URL has to, like, literally everything has to be updated. So, and the thing is, or technically, it's not necessary to add that S to make it secure. We could have made everything secure on HTTP. We could have added certificates on HTTP. There was no reason to add the S. Mm. There's a historic reason from a computing power perspective in the past when the web was just a year old. But today, that doesn't really matter. But yeah, so when should you move? Like the why part, I think, is kind of obvious, especially now that Google Chrome is moving to mark every HTTP website as not secure within the next few months.
Yeah.
Firefox will join that as well, basically, it's kind of already there as well. So that is the why in a nutshell. Like, we don't want to have a signal broadcasted to our website visitors that we are not to be trusted. So from a brand and brandability perspective, we need updates.
Yeah.
But when to do it is actually quite another interesting question. I actually wrote a post about this on Search Engine Land, because a lot of people make the jump to update as quickly as possible. And the thing is, although it is important to update and to move to HTTPS, and I have an 11,000 word guide on this, on how to do it from an SEO perspective, you do want to wait. You do not want to do it too fast. And the reason for it is, there's a unique opportunity with moving to HTTPS, and that is to improve all the SEO signals Google has about your website.
Yeah.
So we talked about earlier about algorithms, and everything about the algorithms is about input-output and the black box of the algorithm. And the output we don't control, that's the rankings. The algorithms, the black box, we don't control. But what we do control is the input. And the moment that we say, like, we want to improve our rankings, we need to improve that input. Now, it takes Google normally quite some time to recrawl a website and pick up all new signals of a website, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially the bigger the website, the bigger this problem is because of crawler budget, et cetera, and old URLs. Now, the beautiful thing is in this case, and you can use the opportunity, if you haven't moved yet to HTTPS, my first advice and recommendation to you would be stop. Do not move yet. If you have moved already, ignore this. Mm. If you haven't moved yet, wait, stop. Because this is the moment to do an audit, to check your website, to check all the SEO signals, to improve your website. and then move to HPS. The moment you move to HPS, your whole website will be recrawled, or at least a representative part of your website that is responsible for your rankings.
Yeah.
And now that will include all the new signals that you have from implementing the recommendations from the audit.
Now, is that because you suggest doing an audit before you move to HTTPS? Is that so that you can get a baseline and see how it's improving it?
No, although you can do that too, if you want to do it for a baseline purpose, sure. No, what I'm saying is that if you move to HTTPS, Google has to recrawl every URL. And that is because of that S being added.
Right.
Yeah, that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So if Google has to recrawl everything, how often can you tell Google to recrawl your entire website?
I'm with you. Now I'm with you. Yes. Because you know by converting it to HTTPS, it's going to get recrawled pretty quickly and pretty much in one go, I'm guessing.
Exactly. And would it not be nice to have improved SEO signals at that point?
Yes.
Because
yes.
Normally, when you update your website, say that you do an audit today and you're already on HPS, just for the sake of argument, you're already on HPS and you do an audit today, you implement everything tomorrow. Yeah.
Yep.
And you have, say, a website of 100,000 pages, just for the sake of argument.
Yes.
Yeah. How long will it take Google to recrawl that 100,000?
Oh, my Lord, months, years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now imagine you have a million pages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now keep also in mind that we also often normally have a significant amount of crawler budget waste. I will be talking about how to optimize for bots at Brighton SEO this year. But you do want to keep in mind that if you have a million URLs, it's not uncommon to 1 million indexable URLs. It's not uncommon to have at least 10 million or 9 million additional non-indexable URLs, which are basically crawler budget waste.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not only do you need to get Google to recrawl the 1 million, you also have to let it recrawl the 9 million. So 10 million in total.
Yeah.
Now, how long does that take?
Even longer than I said before.
Yeah. Now, if you do this audit before you move to HTTPS, you have the advantage that that period, instead of being months or half a year or longer, now being a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 or 2 months. And all the improved SEO signals will be quicker indexed. So that's what I'm saying. The key thing there is, if you're moving to HTTPS and you haven't moved yet, it is better to be 1 month late and be 1 month marked as not secure, because here's the thing, you won't be the only website. There will be a ton of websites that will not have moved by the deadline by the time that Chrome goes not secure for all HTTP patterns. Yeah. If you're not the first one, that's perfectly fine. You already are not the first one if you haven't moved, because everyone else moved 3 years ago or 4 years ago in 2014. Yeah, when Google started with the HTTPS Everywhere campaign.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's 4 years ago almost. You're not the first one anyway. If you still have to move at this point, wait, do an audit first, improve your SEO signals before you move to HTTPS, because then the improved SEO signals can be taken into account as the input into the algorithm.
Now, that's fantastic information, but I want to talk about something that I know that you'll be very knowledgeable on and have a lot to say about. We're already at about 20 minutes, so this needs to be quite quick. But I would love to talk about link building, and specifically link building in the context of, are links still important?
Yes, links are most definitely important, and especially also for Google. Google loves links, and they love links because of discovery of content. Now, obviously, the original Google algorithms were based on PageRank, PageRank still being a bit of a factor. We as an industry have overly obsessed about PageRank to an extent that, which is a funny fact, we have, like, just imagine how many SEOs there are in the world. Yeah?
A lot.
Can you give me a number, an estimation?
Let me think. I mean, just pull a number out the air.
Yeah, that's fine.
175,000. I don't know.
Yeah, I would actually say at this point closer to 1 million, because if you look online on LinkedIn, how many online digital marketers there are and that also work in search, you probably get closer to 1 million.
Probably.
But a lot. But still, say 1 million. Yeah, just for the sake of arguments.
Yeah.
And we have more than 2 billion users online.
Yeah.
Yeah? That is, those are people that are not in the SEO world.
Yeah.
Well, and for them, the SEO world has broken press releases, widgets, infographics, comments on blogs, forums. Do I need to go on?
Yeah.
We as a small industry have broken so much of what makes the World Wide Web. Actually, we have broken anchor text.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have broken anchor text by over-optimizing anchor text. Now, the funny fact is that links are important, not just for Google, but for the web. It's a key pillar. It's the crucial pillar of the World Wide Web. Without links, there is no web. And links is the invention that made the World Wide Web. If you look at the original proposal from Tim Berners-Lee for the World Wide Web,
Yeah. Is
literally hypertext, which already existed at that point in digital format, hypermedia, which was photos and videos and whatever, again, Yeah. That already existed on computers,
Yeah. And
hyperlinks. And the hyperlinks part was the invention, the ability to click from one document to the next document. That was the World Wide Web invention.
Yeah.
And that's what we have broken. And that is, however, on the other side, why links are still important. Without the link, there is no World Wide Web. So is link building important? Yes. Are links still important? Yes. Is Google against link building? Absolutely not. Is Google against link building for the sake of PageRank for manipulating the rankings? Yes.
Yeah.
They are against that part. But it's the focus on the second part of that sentence that we need to focus on what Google is against, not the first part. Google isn't against link building. It's against link building for PageRank purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you take off the PageRank part, what can we then still do with links? Now, well, to be very honest, I hear a lot of people, they buy links, blogs and mommy blogs, soccer mom blogs kind of thing, you know, or a whole bunch of private blog networks and stuff like that, press releases and, you know, if you're active like this, if this is the way you're building links, you're doing it totally wrong. And let me just refresh it. If this is the way you build links, I would just, and you pay for this, I would simply say the following. Get the money that you pay for this and find the trash bin nearby, throw it in there, because that's basically what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that will cost you less effort than actually paying for links that don't help you. So the right way for link building, again, link building is fine, just not for PageRank purposes. Why do we want links? We want links because we want conversions. Like, if you ask very quickly, why people building links, what would be the reason?
To
SEO and PageRank, yeah?
Well, yeah, to improve their business and get more conversions and get more traffic to the site.
Yeah. If I, most of the time, when I'm asking like, okay, why are you building links? People will tell me, because I want to rank higher in Google.
Yeah.
I want to get more PageRank.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then my question is, why do you want to rank higher in Google? Is the sole purpose of your website ranking in Google, or is it getting conversions?
The latter.
Exactly. So how about we cut out the middleman, which is Google in this case, and focus on building links that drive convertible traffic to our websites. We don't care if it passes PageRank or not. We care if a link actually drives conversions. There's a double benefit with this approach. For one is, it will take a little bit longer for Google to recognize you as a brand and pick up the link juice and even the no-followed link juice, as you don't need a lot of links to be recognized as an authority. You just need good links from good places.
Yes.
And they can be no follow. It's not about the PageRank. It's about being mentioned as a brand and having the solution, having good content and having a good user experience on your website. If you focus on all of those things and not on the PageRank part, forget the PageRank part, focus on those things, then although it may take Google longer to recognize you as an authority, it will recognize you over time. Because over time, you are growing an organic or partially organic with no follow links, backlinks to your website and authority across the web, on relevant websites. In the meantime, while you're building those links and while you're still waiting for Google to recognize you, you're already getting business because those links actually drive convertible traffic to your website.
Yeah.
So during that time that you're waiting, you get paid as well. So it's not only that a long-term strategy that you grow, short-term, you benefit as well. It's like kind of having, it's the scenario where you literally can have your cake and eat it too, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, Philly, thank you so much for coming on the show. If you had, out of all the things, all of the brilliant tips you've given us, but if there was one top tip for our audience today, what would it be?
Oh, if you're serious about SEO, you do need to audit your website at least once per year, because SEO keeps changing. Yeah. And just a few of the things I mentioned just a moment ago already with HTTPS, even link building, make sure that you don't have toxic links to your website. You know, these are things that can hold you back in the end. So do an audit, do it once in a while. If you're serious about SEO, you do need to do it at least once per year, depending on the size of your website. You may want to do also with multiple SEO agencies, as well as both in-house and external. The advantage of external is that they basically can have a different view than your in-house team. So you do want once in a while a double check. You know, they come from it fresh, so to say, not tainted by previous experience of the website itself. They can look at it as Googlebot would look at it, who doesn't have access to the internal databases necessarily, your sales database, etc. That's one of the advantages of going to an agency. At the same time, you do want to check also, if you have an in-house team, you want them to check regularly as well.
And just while our listeners are all putting that, do an SEO audit on our website, on their to-do lists, just tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and Search Brothers.
Yeah, so if you are interested in reaching out to me and Casper, both of us former Google Search Quality, we have obviously our website, like most other people, searchbrothers.uk, and you can find us there. And I would also invite everyone listening here, want to connect with me on LinkedIn as well. That's probably the best way to reach out to me. Just find me on LinkedIn, and I don't know if you guys can add a link to it, but...
Yes, we can make sure that those links are on the show notes at the end. That'd be easy to do. So thank you very much, Philly, for coming on the show. And thanks for listening, our listeners. Show notes are at the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/IMPodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review so that we know how we're doing and continue to bring better marketing ideas and advice. We're open to questions and suggestions, so the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet us at Site Visibility. We also have a LinkedIn group, a Site Visibility LinkedIn group. So that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Philly.
Bye-bye.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.